Going back to what I was saying about that scripture recited, training and enlightenment are one. What Buddhist training is, it's like people often come wanting to be enlightened. That's nice. Wouldn't you all like to do it today? You know, kind of like, you know, kind of be wise and peaceful and do all this stuff and treat everything like the Buddha and just be full of compassion, love. It sounds like a good deal. Okay. And then there's this thing called training, practice, you know, kind of dragging yourself to meditate, keeping the precepts, being mindful. It's work. You know, I mean, I don't always want to do it. Nobody I know always says, wow, let me, you know, often it's kind of like you're, you know, you're kind of dragging around this resistant self that's saying, no, can I have this? Can I do that? You know, do I have to really make this effort? Yet, what training is in Buddhism is basically enlightened action. Because what we're doing in training is we're trying to be mindful of everything, which is awakening the faith, the teaching, pointing ourselves to the teaching that everything, every place the Buddha can be found. There's no place that's special. You know, it's like books on Zen, I'll see. You know, in fact, I remember hearing when I first came in, it's like a line in the what we were saying, to live by Zen is the same as to live an ordinary daily life. And I thought when I first started practicing, God, I don't want an ordinary daily life. I have an ordinary daily life. I want an extraordinary daily life. But it's the very, we're not trying for anything special. We're trying to treat what we're doing as mattering, as special. We're trying to treat everyone like they're the Buddha. You know, just like I was, remember I used to have to go meet everyone at the gate at the Abbey. It was one of my jobs when people showed up as guest master. I kind of dealt with all the guests. And she said, remember when you go to the gate, no matter how they appear, whatever their behavior is, whether they're drunk, nice, pleasant, angry, they're all the Buddha. You know, you may not want the drunk Buddha in the monastery, but they're still the Buddha. And you should still bow to them as the Buddha. It's being mindful. Keeping the precepts is just, the precepts aren't binding us. You know, like, God, I have to be good. Trusting, actually, that that's the way we want to be. When we really think about it, that's who we want to be. All the aspects of training are just a description of what enlightenment is. And what we usually want is, I'll do all the stuff. You know, the normal human way is, I'm willing to be kind when I feel kind. I'm really willing to meditate when I want to meditate. I'm willing to be grateful when I feel gratitude. You know, isn't that kind of our normal framework? I'm willing to be thankful when I really like what I have. And we think of training, well, then I'll have all these emotions come up naturally, and I'll just do this really effortlessly. Training is the fact that you have to be grateful when you're not. You have to be willing when you're not. But you're doing the same actions. The idea is that you always have something to be grateful for. Well, you show that gratitude no matter how you feel. You show a willingness no matter how you feel. You know, you're basically trying to behave as an enlightened person, even though you haven't experienced that wisdom yet, or that place yet. And that is actually what allows you, opens your heart to the experience. If you close, because you're pointing yourself into it, it's like when you're willing to be grateful for things, actually the gratitude starts coming. When you're willing to be present with things, you actually realize that it's okay to be where you are, and then after a while it even is really good to be where you are. Yet if you're never willing to be where you are, I can remember jobs where I just spent all my time not being there. In fact, I spent, I think, my whole school life not being there. You know, I'm sure I spent more time looking out the window than at the blackboard. And not surprisingly, I didn't like school. And looking back at it, I even now look at, God, you know, I was really interested. You know? You know, I look back in amazement how much of that stuff I later was interested in and spent time learning. I mean, I did okay in school. I wasn't, you know, I cared enough about my grades to usually do all right, but, you know, it was, but I really, made it suffering for myself. And that's what we have to be willing to do, is just be willing to be, and training is that effort. And if we're not, you know, and the more we cling to the lack of gratitude, the lack of willingness, the lack, all of it, the more it grows, and the more we let go of it, the more actually we experience things as they are. Because it's really letting go of selfishness that training is. Instead of living from a self-centered point of view, we're living from a point of view that, you know, everything is the Buddha. And that actually allows us to experience it. Just like if you treat, you know, it's one of those amazing things where often if you just, you ever notice if you treat somebody really nice, how much nicer they are to be with. You know, it's like not, you know, not deep spiritual fact, but it's very true that, have you ever been angry with somebody and you decided to be nice and suddenly there was no problem between you? Well, that's all training. You know, it's not labeled like, you know, Buddhist training, but that's an aspect of training. You know, just like I had a great principle when I used to have my job at Shasta Abbey had me where whenever anybody who was a guest there made a mistake, it was basically my job to deal with it. So correcting people was unfortunately something I had to do, you know, so, you know, a fair amount of the time when things came up. And I had a nice principle is I used to always stop myself from telling them anything and just always ask people, why did you do whatever you did? And, you know, half the time they had a very good reason for it, or sometimes they had already beaten them up so, they had been so hard on themselves for making that error that rather than correcting them, I had to tell them it was okay. Because I saw that they had gone so far off the limit of doing it. And it was a good way for me not to, because sometimes I went in there thinking, oh my God, why do I have to tell this? You know, I mean, hating to have to tell somebody something and often being a little annoyed. Why does this person have to bother me and make me have to correct them? Like, you know, which is the normal self-centered point of view. You go, my God, I have to kind of grab this person and tell them not to do something. And it's the willingness just to back off it. Of it. But you can actually lose that perspective, you know, very easily, because, and that's what we do with most things. You know, most people, you know, at most situations don't want to make a mess of whatever they're doing. You know, most people, it's like when the people are, most people causing me suffering, usually it's not because they want to cause me suffering, it's because they're in a funk. You know, they're completely oblivious. And then it's not like they're trying to make a mess of things. They're just kind of caught up in some in themselves. Anyway, and let me just come a couple points so we can have like a period. Is if you set up a meditation practice regularity, try to find a point in the day that you can do it. You know, and try to stick to that point. Early in the morning, late at night are good just because it's easy to set aside. You know, we all have control over those hours, presumably. Generally, not always, but frequently. Good ways both either to begin or end the day. Also, coming here to meditate and practice is usually a very helpful thing. I even kind of smile at one of these things I remember noticing, thinking about recently. As I figured out, like last year, I gave instruction to 200 people who were new. I don't think, and they all usually came, sat for a period after the instruction. I don't remember a single person getting up early. Or even fidgeting a tremendous amount. They all sat there still for the whole period. And I think, you know, that's impressive. I think if nothing else, the power of embarrassment is very strong. Because you know not everyone. You know, just like somebody left the retreat who was having difficulty sitting, but he still sat there until, you know, the whole time. And he was sitting right next to me. I finally said, why don't you move to a chair? You know, because I could see that he was in a lot of pain. You know, he tried sitting, you know, on a bench, and he did leave, you know, after the, before lunch, but, and, you know, something else may, you know, who knows, but I still impressed how hard he put into just sitting there. Well, you have a good reason to coming here, which hopefully is that you want to do the practice. It helps. And just practicing with others is a huge help. Because we're in a world where, you know, truthfully, people aren't focused this way. It's a very, it's actually vital. The thing that stops you from training really is convincing yourself it's worth doing. You know, that's the obstacle. You know, if you really think things are worth doing, you can do amazing things, which including, you know, which means you can become a Buddha, which is an amazing thing, but all it means is you have to want to do it. And to want to do it, it helps to be around other people who want to do it. And also you can look at it and think, God, that person's impressed at that. You know, something's going right there. Just like, honestly, I usually tell people if they come here and they look at everybody and they think, I don't want to be like any of those people. it's like my master used to say, when people would ask, how do you know somebody's a good master? He says, don't look at the master, look at the disciples. That's who you're going to be. if you don't like any of those people, being realistic that you don't know how they were like when they first showed up. I know some people who drove me crazy, yet when I knew of them 10 years before, I think, wow, that person made amazing progress. But, so you can't always look at everyone through that eye, but, it's an important principle. And it also reinforces your faith, because you can see people doing it. It means something to them, because if you're around everyone who's, I can remember telling people, I'm going off to spend a week facing a wall, and people looked at me. I remember somebody even telling me, I have a wall. you don't have to pay those people to look at their wall. They're like, why are you doing this? And what's its value? And all the rest. And all those things have impact upon us. Don't kid yourself. You're not immune to what everyone else around you thinks. If everyone's telling you this isn't worth doing, it has an impact upon you. It's not like you can kind of box yourself, your spiritual life off from everyone else around you. So it helps to have the support. And plus, usually it helps to have more teaching and all the rest. So, any last minute questions? I'd like to give people at least one more meditation period before they head out.